Well, it's going to be mostly slides today, but if you turn to Ezekiel 38, we're going to look at a passage or two there. We won't do it right up front, but I'm going to show two or three slides ahead of that, and then I'll talk about those, and then we're going to get into some stuff with Ezekiel 38 and Daniel 11 and look at some more. I've got a lot of slides. It's been a long time since I've given kind of what I call a prophecy update. Of course, we're in the book of Zechariah, and the book of Zechariah is a very prophetic book, and we're going to be back on that next week, Zechariah 10, and I'm looking forward to that. But for this week, because there's so many things happening and going on, I decided I would just, and even this past week, some stuff that I thought, well, let's look at, do a prophecy update for today. Now, this particular slide you've seen, I think, but I just wanted to start here because the first two or three, because the Supreme Court has made some decisions, and I just thought I'd mention those and kind of come back on those because I had mentioned that. This is a poll that was done by the Wall Street Journal. And of course, America's faith in religion from 1998, 62%, 2022, 39%. And this is like a lot of other polls that you see, a drop of about 1% per year or so. Of course, if they had called you or me, we probably would have told them, I would have said, look, I don't have any faith in anybody's religion. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I still would have given them a positive answer. I have faith in that, because the person who called wouldn't know might not know the difference at all. But we know, and I just point that out that nevertheless, if the Lord tarries another 25 years, what's that 39% going to look like? You know, that's the question, because we're dropping, you know, a percent each year. And so, this one I won't spend too much time on, but you know that. This is from Fox News, anti-Christian hostility reaching unprecedented levels in the culture and the government under Biden. A lot of observers, a lot of nonprofit leaders are warning about that. We know that's not a surprise, so I just thought I would throw that in as well. And the reason I'm doing those two is to follow up on this one. This is the guy that worked at the post office, and he took the job many years ago. And he did it so he wouldn't have to work on Sunday, because many years ago, you know, post office employees never worked on Sunday. And of course, when they started working on Sunday, this guy said, well, I'm not going to work on Sunday. I go to church on Sunday. I serve the Lord on Sunday. I'm not going to go to church. And so, I'm not going to work on Sunday. And so they allowed him, and the post office does this, allows him to switch out. And it, all across, and Stan, you might could wait, you know, give us more insight on this, but as I understand, it's kind of a normal thing. And this guy took the holidays that people wanted off, like if you were scheduled to work the Friday after Thanksgiving or something, and they wanted off, this guy would take all of those, what were really considered the tough days to work, so he could substitute out and wouldn't have to work on Sunday. Now, I'm sure there's some local application here, and some post offices would never fire a guy for this, but where this guy worked, they did. I mean, he fought it, they wanted him to work, and they wouldn't let him take off anymore. This court case made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And last week or the week before, a few days ago, the Supreme Court did come out and say that they can't fire him for that. And so it was a point of at least positive thing about you know, our freedom in religion. And so we got that. There were two or three other important cases that came out. Most of them were I think for favorable to us. And so this is just, I don't do this to pick on any corporation. I do not. It's not what I do. But there was a time when corporations did not play in the social issue game. The corporations produced a good product. They hired employees. They took care of the families that worked for them. They certainly provided goods and services and so forth. And they didn't really get into a lot of the social issues. Now, of course, that's not the case. And so this particular one is on Target. I could have used any of them, but Target's pushing this group that wants to. Target is really, I doubt they are actively involved here. I'm not saying this if you, I'm not really doing this against Target in any way. In this case, they're supporting a group that is trying to work to demilitarize the U.S. and to shut down Mount Rushmore and erase our history like some other groups have done. And I just point that out to say, not something against the corporation, but to say this is just the culture, these last three or four slides, this is the culture that's happening in these last days, and it's not a surprise to us. Paul told us, I started to use the verse, I changed it at the end, but I think I got it at the very end, but in the last days, perilous times shall come, is what the Lord told us. And so we're aware of that. Now let me get on to something a little different here. There's this, this is over there, so this is Ukraine, and this is Russia. So Ukraine here and Russia. And there's this army that Putin has that is the Russian army. And then there is this other group called the if you hear it on the news, they're going to say Wagner, V-A-G-N, like Wagner. We spell it Wagner. So if you read it, it'll be W-A-G-N-E-R. An English term is Wagner, but if you hear it on the news, they'll say Wagner. I'm probably going to say Wagner all day or just in these next two couple of slides. But this Wagner group is so that Putin could have an army that he could send somewhere that could go somewhere and fight. And it wouldn't, if anybody called him on it, he'd say, look, it's a group. I don't know. I mean, it's not my, here's my Russian army. And so what he did to fund that group is, they provided the catering for the Russian army, and he paid them a lot of money, you know, for that food. And so they had enough money to fund their own group. There's a head guy named Prigozhin. And what happened, a very strange thing happened. You heard about it a few days ago, is a mutiny from the Wagner group towards Moscow. And they were fighting. The Wagner group was fighting here in Ukraine. They went all the way within 125 miles of Moscow. That was the blockade right there before they reached the agreement and they stopped. But if you dig deep in what happened there, the Russian army leaders got sideways, let's say, with Prigozhin. And so the Wagner group turned on them, and it was going to be that. It was going to be quite a thing. And so they supposedly have it all settled down, and I don't know what's going to happen to this Wagner group, but this group is very interesting. They fight in the Ukraine, and they fight in all these, in Venezuela, and all these countries in Africa. And I did a close-up on the global operations in Africa, including Libya and Sudan. Well, Sudan's a country the Bible calls Ethiopia. There is still an Ethiopia, of course, but in Bible days when it was referring to Ethiopia, it's been renamed. We renamed it Sudan. They also fight in Syria. I mean, they're all these people are well funded, and Putin did not really want to lose them because that was his best forces in the Ukraine. And so when they left Ukraine and came to him, I mean, it was a disaster. And so he had to kind of solve all that. I'm not saying that so I give the news, okay? I'm saying that because when I saw that, this group, and I studied a little bit to understand the places that they were fighting in, it reminded me of some scripture that we read. And specifically, I'm going to start with Ezekiel, and then I'm going to go to Daniel. But this is one of the maps of Ezekiel 38, anybody can argue with some of these countries of whether they're exactly right or wrong. But basically, Ezekiel 38, we're going to read here, there's going to be an army out of the north come down upon Israel. But there's also, and Iran is going to be involved with this. Most people think Russia is going to be involved with this. Turkey may lead it. Russia may lead it. But look here, Sudan and Libya, others in Africa as well, and a lot of times that is discounted. For some reason, anybody talks about Ezekiel 38 and 39, we try to think about, and they'll say, well, Iran is coming down, and Turkey and Russia are coming down. Every time they'll say it's coming down on Israel, and yes, that is very true. But something else is these African nations are going to come up as well. And that's always completely discounted. And then I find, hey, there's an army down there, a powerful army down there called the Wagner Group. Now, whether it's going to be converted yesterday or so or day before, the latest report is Moscow is trying to convert the Wagner Group to the Russian army. I don't know how that's going to go. Some people say it's going to be disseminated. I highly doubt that all these people they've got in all of these places are going to be gone overnight. I don't know. This may be, I'm just looking at it strictly from prophetical viewpoint. This may be, the group that leads that fight from the African nations as well. Let's read that. Ezekiel 38 verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Mesech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. So God identifies this person as Gog and says where he's from and what he controls. And he controls Magog and Mesech and Tubal. And those are not countries that we have today. So a lot of people argue over who those countries exactly are. Probably you could say that it's pretty easy to say that in that verse we're talking about Russia or south of Russia or Turkey. Somewhere in there would be a pretty good thought on that, I believe. Verse 3, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Mesech and Tubal. Now that's not good. If you ever get a verse from the Lord and he says, I'm against you, that's not good, is it? And that's what Gog just got, is a verse that says, I'm against you. And he says, verse 4, I'll turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, plural, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Then he lists some more countries that go with him. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. All of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands and many people with thee. Togarma is very likely Turkey or part of Turkey. Gomer is always argued. Some people feel like it's Germany, but always argued. I imagine it's also south of Russia somewhere. But verse 5, Persia is Iran. Nobody argues about that. But for some reason, people overlook Ethiopia and Libya and say, they don't have any big army that they're going to be doing something with. In fact, they do, don't they? They've got the Wagner Group. And we'll see. And so we're just connecting some of the dots here. But certainly Iran would love to invade Israel. And here we have this group down there that has been said some things hostile against Israel in the past and so forth. So we don't use current events to write the Bible. The Bible's written. We read the Bible, though, and we use that as our lens to look out here and see what's going on. And I'm just saying that fits. That fits with what's going on, tells us that we're in the last days. Something else that is going on, I've mentioned a few times, but it's important to also think about here, once again, because nobody thinks about Africa too much. This, I think, may have shown you this slide, but it goes fits again right here. So I just want to, this is very recent, but I think I just pulled it down 2 or 3 weeks ago, but this is from The Economist. This is a live So this, now we're going to speak of just the number, the population growth or not in some of these places. And so the birth rate for women, by the way, it's women that give birth. The world seems confused on that. At least the United States does. I don't, just thought I would clarify. 2023, so the United States, and most, a lot of these are red. If you're red, you're doing less than two. The United States will pick up because of the immigration that's coming in. You know, when you have, you know, a million people come in and all, I mean, there's gonna, it's gonna pick up. I'm not saying yay or nay on that. I'm just strictly reporting the numbers. This is gonna pick, the United States will pick up over and be over two, I think, before too long. This is a very, very important, topic, especially, for, you know, just secular government leaders to understand. There's going to be a huge shift geopolitically as we go forward. But as a Christian, it's also important for us today to understand that. And, you know, where we're going to send missionaries, yes, but also as we look at things prophetical. And you can see, so the ones that, so we're, get over here in the blue and purple, those are having more than two children per couple. So those countries are gaining. And where is it? It is in Central Europe and it is in Africa, isn't it? And so what you have is a huge population increase in some of these areas that I believe have been overlooked and are going to be very important going forward. If I ask the average person in Washington, D.C., you know, they would obviously say something about Russia and Ukraine. But the other one they would talk about quickly is what? China. People ask me all the time about, you know, about China. But the thing is, China had this one-child policy for decades. And you can see this is the population estimate. The United States, you can see, is going to hold its own, maybe grow. This is from 2000 over the next 100 years. I don't know if this is going to be right or not. This is what they have. Look at China, down. Down almost from 100% to almost, you know, towards 50%. This next slide is just China. So now they're going to have a lot of people. They still have, they got 1.5 billion, let's say. Even if they lose half, they'll be to 700 million. And this one shows them going to a median of about half. And the point is, China is disappearing. I mean, you can't have a one-child policy and keep up with your population. And so I heard a guy yesterday, and I would say this guy certainly could be wrong, but he believes, based on these numbers, he's a guy that looks at the geopolitics and the population and so forth, based on what's happening there, and the fact of how, where they are in the cycle of having this this one-child policy, even though now, very recently, they've reversed that and tried to get their people to start having, you know, two children or more, but the society is not set up for it. But I heard a guy yesterday who said, and again, he could be wrong, but he thinks China will basically disappear, or not totally disappear as a country, but from any kind of a major power force within the next 10 years. And that'll be something that we will watch. Certainly there's a lot. This next article is from the New York Times. No quick fix in China's rebound. And they're having a very difficult time getting their growth going again. And I believe, and that's because they've got less people. When they, after COVID, they bring everybody back, count up the heads, we're short. You know, get them to work and all that. We're short. Try to, you know, and just like the rest of the world, basically it was very slow for a lot of folks to come back. China does not have the numbers right now of workers. And so they're having to pay more to get people in there. And that's where a lot of people buy a lot of goods, and those goods are going to cost more. The prediction you could take from that, And it's going to have to be studied more to make sure this is correct. And I know our inflation is going down. So we're all happy about that. But But I think after the election, 2024 or so, you know, some of this comes out and some of this starts to be realized, you know, we could have pretty strong inflation in not only this country, but globally. So when you have less people, you have less workers, things cost more, and it could lead to you know, not only huge shifts in the power structure, but it could lead to an inflationary period. Even as countries themselves, like ours, are trying to build up our own factories and try to do some things ourselves, even the cost of that is going to be a little bit inflationary. So I would say that that's not, it's just a point. And that also goes along. I'm trying to do this from a prophetical standpoint, not to give the news. I'm not trying to be bad news either. I'd rather have a very positive message. But what I say is, we know that in the first half of the 70th week is going to be tremendous. You know, it's going to be wars and rumors of wars. It is going to be droughts and famines and inflation. I mean, food shortages and so forth. I'm just saying, the world's getting set up to see exactly that. I'm going to follow up on this story as well, and I know you can't read that, but I did show you that slide. Again, I'm not trying to show you all different slides again. I'm trying to follow up on some stuff, but, you know, Robert Kennedy announced, of course, when the Fed now U.S. central bank digital currency came out, that they were going to control a lot of things. And showed you that, reminded you too that the Federal Reserve came out within 48 hours of his tweet and said, no, we've got it, but we're not going to replace anybody's money. And, you know, they tried to calm everybody down. Right after that, the largely unnoticed, but the Washington Stand reports, the WHO moved forward with a global governance plan. That's what they're calling it, global governance plan. What does governance mean? That means, you know, this people right here, we're going to control in a certain way. That's what it means. And the WHO's global governance plan, the one they grabbed and agreed with and they're going to start with is in the EU. So we will be watching Europe as this thing gets implemented in Europe. And apparently the Europeans are going for it. Again, I'm just leaning on this article here. But basically, if you part of that is changing your money, and I can't believe they would give up the euro for that. We will have to watch and see. It's going to be something. But that digital currency, it you put it in there, and it's digital. It's not anything you got in your pocket. And if they don't like something you're doing, they can just cancel that currency. The other thing that they can do is, and I think this is what the Antichrist will do in the 70th week, when everybody, you know, because he controls everything, going to control everything that's bought and sold. I think everybody by then will be, be given so much money because you're not, you know, and I think if you don't, they don't want anybody to rise up and be rich or save up your money or anything like that. I think that, you know, because digital currency can expire. You know, you make it expire, so you have to use it. You can't save it up because they don't want anybody to get rich or powerful. And so I think there's just going to be a lot of those things that's we're going to see or hear about that'll start being built into the system as we go forward. We got a little time on this because there's some rocky starts going, and people even that were involved with it are now being cautious, can see the problems. But we know by the time the world gets to Revelation 13, this thing's going to be implemented. We also know, by the way, here's a little good news. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you won't be here for that. We may have to live through some stuff. We will. We're already living through some stuff, aren't we? And we may live through a lot of things before that happens. But make no mistake about it. God will rapture the church before the wrath of God is poured out in that 70th week. And there's no question about that. But in the meantime, we're watching these things, and that can happen. By the way, if you fly on my job for many, many years, I flew on airlines all the time, and so I end up with a lot of miles and, you know, those frequent flyer miles. And I thought, man, this will be great. People ask me all the time, you know, you must have millions and, you know, all these miles. You know, they put expiration dates on those miles. Why did they do that? Now, you got ways to keep them if you keep flying, if you keep doing some stuff. But if you you take a flight here and there and you think, man, I finally saved up to get a ticket, get a free ticket, you got to watch out or they will expire on you. And they do that, you know, because they don't want somebody that's just that they owe a lot to. And so that's the pattern that already they're talking about with this digital currency. At the same time, I'm going to define who the BRIC nations are in just a moment, but just 4 or 5 days ago, Russia confirmed that, July 7th is when this came out, that the BRIC nations, B-R-I-C-S, I'll give you the definition in a second, were going to launch a gold-backed currency. Now, that's quite a bit different than a digital currency. And it's been a long time since there's been a gold-backed currency. In the United States, that's the way ours used to be. We had so much gold in Fort Knox, and we issued currency off that, and everybody knew that if you held a dollar, that somewhere over here it was backed by gold, and so it was, the United States could easily make it good. And we got away from that gold standard a long time ago, but that is the situation. So it's interesting they came out with that. Probably they did that to show that this is going to be a stable currency. If I was going to be a part of that currency, I'd want to see that pile of gold from these guys. That's just my own thought on it. But I know this is difficult to read, but just so you get it, so the BRICS stands for Russia, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Those are big nations. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. That's who we got. But then an article just came out that said these countries have applied for membership. And there's several countries that want to get in on this thing. Iran, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Egypt, and so forth. What they want to do, of course, is China wants them to all move to a new currency that they can be a part of and sort of control. The problem is China manipulates their currency. You know, we don't mind being in the International Monetary Fund if it's in with people that do not manipulate their currency and it can have free market conditions. We don't, you know, if our dollar is strong or if it's weak, we let it be strong or weak based on the market conditions. We don't let it be strong or weak based on what we choose it to be. We let ours, and that's, if somebody does manipulate their own currency, but let's say it's in your advantage for your currency to be what's called weak. What that means is that's cheap dollars, and people will therefore do things to get your dollars because they're cheap. So they'll send you goods and that kind of thing. But if you say, no, what I need to slow down, or, you know, my economy's such that you try to make it strong, that's something different. Now, we have ways with our trade to do some things, but we do not artificially manipulate it. If you start getting big countries, Brazil, Russia, China, then some of these countries like Saudi Arabia and UAE all working together with their own currency instead of the dollar, it's going to have a major effect on the United States. This particular one that was just announced is Mexico saying they want in to join the BRICS because the relationship weakens under Biden. I was disappointed in this. And I would implore, you know, nobody is listening from Washington, but Mexico is our number one trading partner. And they are very important to us as our southern border. And we've had over the years, you know, better and worse, up and down with it. We should always try. This is just I'm just saying this as an American. We always should always try for this to be a solid relationship. It should be Mexico and Canada. I mean, this is where we are. You know, this is our geography. This needs to be very, very strong and should be a very good relationship. Because we need to do better with Mexico, because it's a huge issue. If you're going to have major power shifts over the next 5 or 10 years, there's going to be major shift in China, a major shift in Africa coming up and various things. You want things that are stable and predictable for yourself. And so a new currency that's gold-backed that could be manipulated, our partners kind of pushing away from us, Mexico and so forth. Things are not heading in the direction and so that's the reason we need to pray for our leaders that they will make good decisions. Even on that slide I showed where it said the current administration is not as friendly to Christians. Do you know what the answer to that is? The answer to that is to pray for our leaders. No, God told us in Scripture, that's how you solve that problem. If you want to lead a quiet, Paul told us, right? A quiet and peaceful life, we're to pray for our leaders. And I believe if Christians, by and large, on the prayer list my wife does for us, right at the top, she's got, not by name, but she just got several groups of our leaders. And we pray for them. And because if every Christian did that, you know, and you say, I can't stand so-and-so. I can't, you know, that's not, the Lord didn't give us that option. But you can pray for, you can pray for salvation, and we should. You can also pray, whether you are really fond of them or not, you can pray, Lord, would you help them make good decisions? Would you help them make good decisions? Maybe they're unsaved, lost, and don't even believe in God. But they could still make some good decisions that would help us, like being better friends with Mexico, which is an issue. Maybe going to become more and more an issue. I could talk about some things there, but just make good decisions. And God has promised in His Word, we want a quiet and peaceful life. That's what we need to do. So I just say that between us, if every Christian ought to do that, and I think that would help us. Of course, we got the guys globally that we got to deal with. This is a guy, Yuval Harari, he wants, you know, you've all heard about artificial intelligence, and he believes it's going to make a new world religion in the next few years, he said. This is a picture of him. I've not mentioned him in here very much at all, but he asserted that a new religion will emerge whose author is artificial intelligence. No, not God, who is all omnipotent and all intelligent. No, he's wanting artificial intelligence. He's a Jew, by the way, Yuval Harari. You say, who cares about this guy? I'm just saying he's high up in the World Economic Forum. He's probably sold 20 million books, maybe 30. I mean, this guy, the people around the world, they read him and listen to every word. So you and I may not, you know, might not think much about him, but the world is thinking about it. And you know what he said here? He wants to artificial intelligence to rewrite a new and more correct Bible. In fact, that quote was, exact quote was something like this. I want AI to rewrite the Bible so at least it could be correct. Now, that's what he's saying. It's one of those statements that when they say that, you know, I'd scoot over a little bit in case God, you know. If I was God, that's the reason God doesn't let any of us be God. Because what would we do with a guy like that? Right? Somebody gets zapped, right? God's patient, long-suffering, isn't he? But there'll come a point when that's not the case. So, anyway. This artificial intelligence becoming a big deal. By the way, it is not it's going to be several years before before a machine is capable of really doing some of the things that they say. And so it is time now to show a lot of caution and get some rules in the game and so forth. But eventually, this thing is going to be very important. I'm hoping that it doesn't really get traction until the world gets to Revelation 13 timing, you know. But there's going to be more and more going on with this as we go forward. There's a guy, the guy, the head of the UK wants to run it. He came over and asked Biden about that. I don't know who's that. I sure don't want anybody to be the global head myself that's not in the United States. But I don't know how this is going to go. We'll have to see. Just a little bit on the more on the international front here. Of course, NATO had their big meeting this week, and they voted that Sweden could get in to NATO. But the guy who almost held it up was Erdogan in Turkey, and he went ahead and went with it in the very last. Now, Sweden is kind of, I would say, a little bit of an important addition. And could be a help from a military standpoint. The thing about NATO is, if you know, the rule is, if somebody comes down on one of those NATO countries, we all have to get in the fight. And so Sweden militarily could help in that. Ukraine did not get in this particular go, and the reason is because of the war with Russia. Had Ukraine got in, we would have had, and who's the most important military power is the United States, we'd have had to saddle it up and go in. And so Ukraine's not in there yet. But there was a picture with Joe Biden standing next to Erdogan this last week, which, look, I'm not criticizing that. They were all there and so forth. But it just reminded me of what he had said just a few days ago. This is from April 7th, when he said the Muslim world must unite against Israel. And he's a pretty powerful guy, and says that the Muslim world, and they will. That's what Ezekiel 38, the verses that we read, that's what it is all about. I'm going to quickly go to, so there's a lot of, news from time to time about Israel. This was June 18th, so just a few days ago. A couple that was living in the West Bank area, an Israeli couple, they had a child. They decided they would build on to their house so they could have a bedroom, a nursery for that child. You see where it says, let Israel build nurseries in Jerusalem's neighborhood. You say, really, did that make the world news? It did. Because this guy wanted to build a nursery for his new child, and they said, no, we did not approve you, Israel, building on to your houses there. And I mean, that's just, you can just see the tension and the feel, if you follow the news, the tension and the negative things that are going on with regard to Israel. I mean, don't even want to build a house, you know. All the while, the Biden administration is working on the Iran deal. So against Israel, but continuing to work on the Iran deal. I didn't write this. The Jerusalem Post wrote this, that the Biden administration won't acknowledge the Iran deal that they're working on because it's a way to skirt Congress. I don't know if that is the case or not. I will say things are greatly heating up over there. This one right here, Israel's window to strike Iran narrows as Putin enters the equation. Putin needs some stuff from Iran. He's getting these drones. He needs them. Iran is saying, we'll gladly send you our drones, but we want this some S-400 air defense. S-400, you could kind of think of it as like a little bit like Israel's Iron Dome. And Iran says, we want an Iron Dome like Israel's got. Israel is on record as saying, Iran is not going to get a nuclear bomb. We will stop it. And they've told everybody that. There's many, you can find it anywhere. They intend for that to be the case. The point is that if Putin gets desperate in the war with Ukraine and gives them something similar, maybe not as good, but similar to an Iron Dome, they can defend themselves. Iran can defend themselves from an Israeli attack. Before that gets in place, Israel will attack. And that's the reason for this next article. They wrote, all signs point to an imminent attack. This is actually a few months ago, and it's still a point of tension. I don't know what's going to happen there. I will say this, if Israel attacks Iran, it's going to be globally, there's going to be a big mess, is what's going on. And so we'll continue to watch that. The Crown Prince, of course, he wants to realign Mideast dynamics. So the prince is feeling a little left out in some things, doesn't get along with the U.S. right now, and so he's reaching out to others, and now he wants to run the Mideast. China is continuing to have struggles as well, and so they want the Palestinian state. Xi just came out and said he wanted the Palestinian state to be a member of the U.N. I mean, are you kidding me? There's not even a Palestinian state. And for him to say that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to do two more slides and then I'll be done here. I'll quit a little early. I've got some more in the back, but I'll hit those another day. Just because our politicians are saying things about population, I thought I'd bring this in. World Economic Forum member calls for a major reduction, 86% reduction in the world's population. We got 8 billion people. He said we got to get down to 1 billion people. That's what he said. And I thought, that's ridiculous. Then John Kerry said, look, going up to 10 is unsustainable for the climate. Unsustainable. Now, I would just say this, Mr. Kerry, with all due respect. You know, God said, go forth and multiply. And never gave us any warning about having too many. God can handle it. God can handle it. I was going to show you some verses. I knew I'd be out of time, and I'll do it another day. But you go over there and look in Genesis and in other places as well. When God describes some of the things in this world, he will refer to them as his. He refers to that rain. Go over there and look and right after the flood. I think it's Genesis 10, where God refers to that rainbow as his. God refers, by the way, in other parts of the Bible, to the sun as his. But for those like Kerry and some others that want to darken the sun, you know, we get a lot of vitamin D from the sunlight. And for somebody just to say, no, we don't want it, God. We're just going to do this ourselves. It's not a good plan. And I just stop here. I'm already over time. I started to put the one in about our vice president, also saying something about population control yesterday or day before. I took it out because the White House claims that was a mistake and she meant pollution control, not population control. No, I'm serious. I thought, well, then I'm not going to put it in because it could be that that's not the case. But it doesn't matter. I mean, look, Kerry is saying it. The World Economic Forum is saying it. I mean, there's some things heading in that direction. But I would say, they will get their wish because some countries like China, like Italy, like Iran, like Russia even, just their numbers are going to decline. And just mathematically, it's going to happen because of their Japan saw this coming years ago and tried to reverse it. And you really can't get it reversed over the short time. It takes a long time, long time to build back up. And so they are facing that. So there's going to be, I think there's going to be, if the Lord tarries the next 10 years, there's going to be, I don't know if he will. By the way, I don't set dates. I have no idea. But if he does, there is going to be a population decline just by arithmetic. All of this has prophetical significance. And so I bring it up. So anyway, for next week, read Zechariah 10, and we'll get back on track with that.